Welcome to this episode of India Startup Talk. And today's topic is startup basics and demystifying the jargon. So here I'll be explaining more than 30 terms, and terms such as organic growth, valuation, GTM, preferred shares, cap tables, and such. So just that it doesn't get too boring for you, I will walk you through a startup journey from beginning to end and explain the terms as we go along. So let's start with defining the term startup itself. So my own definition of a startup is a new business that characteristically, and this is important, seeks external funding from investors, and that's for accelerating its growth and reaches full market potential and revenue much faster than if it were to grow organically. So now wait a minute, what does organically mean? Growing organically just means that a new business is growing on the basis of its own earnings and profits that is being plowed back into the company. And sometimes this is also referred to as bootstrapping. So businesses in the olden days, kind of like pre-startup days, grew slowly by reinvesting their profits, as I mentioned. And to give you an idea, organic growth startups can take maybe 10 years before it becomes big or even profitable. Whereas startups, with the help of external funding, can get to a decent size as quickly as 2 years. Although 4 to 7 years is more like the norm. Now, even if startups do not achieve growth in terms of sales, they can be valued at pretty large numbers, like $1 million plus, very, very quickly, even if it has not even started selling anything yet. For example, a company called Desktop Metal, which is a 3D printing company founded in 2015 by MIT engineers in the US, raised $15 million in venture funds in less than 2 years of its starting out. And that was even without selling a single printer, which means that it was valued at $300 million in just 2 years. And that brings us to the term valuation. It's a notional value of the company investors and founders have to agree upon as if it were being sold, hypothetically that is. And valuation is a pretty much of a black art and probably a subject of another podcast. But in very brief terms, valuation depends on basically three factors. Validation of your product or service, and that can be typically done with a proof of concept or a minimum viable product, and I explain these terms in a second. Or if you have any actual sales. So really means that you have proven your idea by actually selling it or proving it with a little model or a prototype. The second thing that it depends on, valuation is dependent on, is what stage your company is in. Is it really, really early stage, just an idea or a concept, or you actually have a product which may not be tested yet, but you still have a product, or you have a product and you've tested it. And the size and the maturity of your team, that's what we mean by the stage of the company. The later the stage, the better it is. And the third thing it depends on is the brand value of your company. How well known are you? So valuation of a startup is important because it forms the basis for securing funding. As I mentioned earlier, that funding is a key characteristic of a startup. And external money or other people's money, who are known as investors, is very key to a startup's growth or hypergrowth. And typically, a startup will manage to get 20% of its valuation as funding amount. So reasonably, that's what you can ask for. Naturally, that means the more you're valued at, the more money you can get. But you should not seek more money than you actually need. Raise money through funding, you'll have to sell shares or give out equity, which is one and the same thing, in exchange for the money that you're getting. So what does these two terms mean? So when you register your company, you will be creating a share pool in your company, and your accountant will explain this. It's kind of like creating your own currency in the company. Let's say you decide to create 100 units of shares in your company, and then at some point your company is valued at $1 million, then each share is worth $10,000. Shares are what you will hand over to the investors when you seek funding, as I mentioned. So in this example, if your company is valued at $1 million and you're seeking $200,000 in funding, then you will have to give up 20 shares in exchange for the money you just took. So this is known as investors taking equity in your company. And it also means diluting your shares. So earlier you had 100 shares, now you've given up 20 shares, so you own 20% less of the company. So the basic idea here is that when your startup valuation goes up as you grow the company, the share value increases as well for the people who own the shares. And this could be you, yourself, your people in the company, your employees, as well as obviously the investors. So let's get into different kinds of shares. So there are common shares, and then there are shares that are called preferred shares. Common shares are generally retained by the company, and preferred shares are generally reserved for investors. And the difference being that when you liquidate the company, sell the company, or dissolve the company, you will get some residual value for selling the company. And the first people to get compensated would be the preferred shareholders, and whatever is left over, the balance of money, goes out to the common shareholders. So you can understand, just in case you didn't get enough money when you sold the company, if you are holding common shares, you might be left with nothing. Now, another instrument for currency for you to get funding is called a debt note. Now, in the case of debt note, it's basically like borrowing money at a certain interest rate. And that interest rate can sometimes be referred to as a discount rate. Now, a debt note is not like shares because you promise to pay the money back with interest, so you haven't actually given up any shares in the company. A convertible note is kind of like a debt note that can be exchanged later on for shares, and that's why the name convertible notes. So we went through a lot. Let's summarize what we've learned. We've defined a startup. It's a company, a new company, that is looking to grow fast and looking for money. Organic growth or bootstrapping is a startup which is not looking for funding, and you're going to take your own profits and grow at your own pace, which usually is much longer. Valuation is a notional value of a startup at the funding stage. And shares, we talked about three kinds of shares. Shares is your currency that you will give out as equity to investors and your employees, and some that you will retain yourself. And a debt note is a mechanism for you to borrow money instead of giving up shares in your company. And a convertible note is a instrument to borrow money, as well as some point in time, if you change your mind, you can exchange it for shares. So now let's get into some nuances of a startup and what makes it different from a traditional new company, amongst other things. A good startup, and by good I mean one that is considered as attractive to investors, has a product or a service that is serving a market that is still virgin, like an underserved market. You'll hear that term, underserved market, which really means it's a new service or a new product that no one else has thought of. So in other words, let me give you an example. If you're thinking of selling books online, then it'll be difficult for you to get funding because the market is already saturated by the likes of Amazon and Flipkart. So it's already an oversaturated market. It's not underserved. That's the opposite of that, right? So next characteristic, a startup must have a huge growth potential, okay? And now, so the time it takes to reach profitability, for example, is not that important, but what is more important is how big can your company become through selling your product or service. And this is often to often referred to as the word scalability. And it's a confusing term. A lot of people misuse it. But scalability simply means how big is your idea and how much sales you can get without stretching yourself too much. And I can explain this very well with an example. Okay, so let's say you're a cook and you want to open a restaurant. This idea is not scalable because there's only one of you, you're the chef, and you can only work in one restaurant at a time, right? But if you have invented an interesting cooking method, then it's a scalable idea because you can then sell this technique to many, many people, and then they can produce the food and run hundreds of kitchens, right? So that idea is scalable, and the idea of you opening a restaurant yourself, by yourself, is not scalable. Now that you have a scalable idea for your startup venture, the challenge will be to grow the business as fast as you can. Now, because remember, I mentioned earlier that a characteristic of a startup is that you're going to get funding to do that. So you'll be under tremendous pressure to grow the company quickly. And which brings to another term that you have to have a good go-to-market strategy, or GTM. You will hear this often. And GTM is simply a methodology or a strategy to sell your product or service very, very fast and very effectively. Okay? So I can also explain GTM by telling you what other methods or platforms for doing GTM. You must have heard of social media marketing. Basically, it is how you can get your product or service pop up in front of your social media user in Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, you name it, right? And you may be getting an influencer to talk about your product. That's all social media marketing. So it's just one platform or one channel of GTM. Another GTM channel and a term that I'll introduce to you is called affiliate marketing, which is basically getting together with a partner who's got a better brand but a non-competing product that is not competing with your product. So let's say you're selling a shampoo or an herbal shampoo, right? And you team up with a toothpaste company that is better known brand and is also an Ayurvedic toothpaste. So you kind of have some synergy there. So what you can do is you can approach the toothpaste company and tell them that, hey, for every toothpaste you sell, you know, mention my product name with a discount coupon so they'll buy my product. So every time a toothpaste is being sold, a customer of that toothpaste also becomes aware of your shampoo. So this is called affiliate marketing. That's another GTM strategy. And then there's obviously the traditional advertising methods like print advertising, newspaper advertising, billboards and such. Now, at this point, I'm going to introduce another term, okay? You will hear from your investors and people who are advising that you need to have a multi-channel marketing strategy. And all that means is you just need more than one way of getting your product or service known to your customers in multiple different ways, okay? It could be social media, be it advertising on a billboard, blah, blah, blah. So that's multi-channel marketing. So we talked about a lot, but now comes another very, very important thing. Well, everything that I'm talking about is important, so I apologize if I'm using the word important, but it is important, okay? The term execution, or also synonymously used as implementation. So execution of idea is something very, very important and taken very seriously by investors, because ideas are easy to come by, okay? You must have heard ideas are a dime a dozen, but to implement that idea is far more difficult, okay? And so the factors that show, you know, I'm trying to focus on the how, just empty words is sometimes not helpful, right? So how do you show that you have a capable implementation strategy? Okay, so the four things that investors will look for in terms of implementability is, do you have a proven product? Okay, and you can do that by creating a prototype, you know, like a small minimum viable product. And that's another term that you will hear often, MVP, minimum viable product. That means, let's say you're thinking of a product with 100 features, but try to create like 3 or 4 basic features just to prove that idea. You know, you can develop it with very minimum cost. So that's that term MVP refers to a cut down version of your product or service that you're going to use to test the market. And that is interchangeably used with POC or proof of concept. POC, MVP, one and the same thing, okay? That's one. The second thing is the ability to sell your idea quickly. We talked about GTM, so they're gonna look at your GTM, okay, in this case. The third thing they're gonna look for is your ability to defend yourself and protect yourself from competitors, okay? And that is sometimes also referred to as what's your moat, M-O-A-T. Moat is like a little thing around a castle, you know, like a water channel that olden days kings used to use, you know, the royalty used to use to protect their castle. So that's your moat, you know, what is your moat? How are you going to protect yourself if there are competitors? And also sometimes referred to as a USP, unique selling point. So what's your unique selling point that others don't have? And sometimes they also refer to it as your unfair advantage. So unfair advantage, moat, USP is all about how you're going to defend your product and even maybe grab market share before anybody else does. So this third thing is very important, okay? And the fourth thing, you have to show investors a cash flow, a realistic cash flow. That means you have to sit down and say, I'm going to earn this much money in the next 6 months, next 1 year, next 2 years, next 3 years, and up to 5 years. And these are going to be my expenses, and this is going to be my revenue. Now, I see a lot of these cash flow analysis, but it's when you dig into it, there's no depth and there's no quantifiable justification on how you arrived at that, at those numbers. So don't fool yourself. When you sit in front of investors, you better be able to convince the investors how you arrived at those numbers. Okay, so let's move on to moats. Founders will want to protect their idea for fear of getting copied by others, like I mentioned. And so one of the techniques is if your idea is patentable, means you can protect it, right? Then you have some intellectual property. That means you have some secret sauce. You have a cool method of doing something that others don't know yet. So you will hear this term often called intellectual property rights, IPR, but that simply means is your know-how. Now you can patent it, and oftentimes you don't have to patent it, because if you don't patent it, you know, it's no big deal. Because my personal take on this is that most of the cases, okay, I wouldn't say all, in most cases, if you just move fast with your idea, then you're ahead of the competition. And you can protect yourself by just getting there first. And it's often known as first mover advantage. So we covered a lot. So we should stop here and summarize all the new terms that I have defined for you. First one was growth potential. So here what we mean is that you need a big, big market. So whatever your startup business idea is, unless it's addressing a very big market, it's not attractive. And this term is referred to as growth potential of your business idea. Profitability, it's a term when you actually break even. As I explained to you, in startup world, reaching profitability is important, but not as important as demonstrating your growth potential very quickly. Next, we talked about scalability, very interesting one. It's a product or a service for a mathematician. I can explain it in a mathematical formula. It's a non-linear relationship between your input or efforts, like people and money, and the output or the result, which is just money, the revenue. So if you put in X amount of effort And money, the Y amount of money that you're going to generate, Y has to be much, much greater than X. And the bigger the Y is as compared to the X, the bigger the output is compared to the input, the more scalable you are. GTM, go-to market strategy, is the term used for a strategy that is going to take that scalable idea of yours and make it into a reality in terms of capturing that huge market potential that we talked about. Okay, that's GTM. There are several things like social media marketing, print advertising, affiliate marketing, all those things. Okay, the more you have, the better it is. And that multiple platform concept is also referred to as multi-channel marketing. So that's another one. Then we talked about execution or implementation. Remember, your idea may be cool, but what needs to be much, much cooler is your ability to make that idea a success. So that's called ability to execute and your ability to implement, okay? We also talked about MVP or POC, okay? MVP means minimum viable product, or a proof of concept, which is basically a cut down version, a small version of your product or service that allows you to prove that you can go to a customer and make them pay. So investors like to see actual proof of someone willing to put their hand in the pocket and pay money for your product and service. And the way you can do it is with an MVP or POC. We talked about a moat or a USP or an unfair advantage. It is the mechanism to protect your market. So once you get into the market, you will find that you need the concept of a moat or something that protects you from other competitors. We talked about cash flow. It's the cash flow statement, meaning how much you're gonna earn, how much you're gonna spend, and how much you're gonna be left with, a clear, quantifiable, and provable. Exactly, you can't prove it, but convincing numbers that you can put in front of, convincing logic rather, not numbers. The numbers should be attractive, and your logic should be convincing, okay? That's what the characteristic of a cash flow needs to be, and that's cash flow. Next, we also talked about IP and IPR, intellectual property, or and interchangeably used sometimes intellectual property rights. It's the secret sauce that makes your product unique and defendable. Sometimes can help you market yourself better as well. Something that cannot be copied by your competitor, either because you've patented it or because you've raced so far ahead, they do not feel comfortable or confident to copy your idea. Which brings me to the last one that I describe, is first mover advantage, which simply means that you move quickly with your GTM strategy and you're so far ahead, you've taken up so many customers that your competition feels scared to even enter that market. For example, Uber and Ola have already captured a huge market. Now all the new folks that will try and come and do something similar, unless they have deep, 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 deep pockets, they won't come in and try to compete with them. So with that, I will end this episode and I will cover some more exciting things, like what happens when you meet investors and things that you need to keep in mind to prepare yourselves, and the terminology or the jargon that goes along with it will be the topic of part two. So this is the end of part one, and thanks for listening. Until next time. Hey there, listeners. This was Saibal Sen, your host for today at India Startup Talk. And if you'd like to connect with me, please send me an email at ssen@zenesysconsulting, spelled as ZENESYS, consulting, all one word, .com, or follow our page on LinkedIn, which is Zenesys India Startup Talk. I'd love to hear from you. And hey, if you want to join me as my guest in the next show, I'd love to hear from you. Thank you.